small part of your day. Always a privilege and a pleasure to be able to get between your ears for these 2 hours. And always a privilege and a pleasure to be able to run off to the phone lines and catch up with the president of WirePoints, Ted Dabrowski. And he joins us every couple of weeks to kind of give us the rundown on what's happening in around not only here in Decatur, Macon County, but also around the state and the impacts it has on Decatur and Macon County. I hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend and got some time to relax a little bit.
I did. Thank you. I hope same to you and your listeners.
Yes. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you. And we're going to get into the budget here in a second. And I do want to apologize. I was not able to print. I printed off what you had sent me, but I was not able to get the rundown on the admin pay and the retirees from here in Decatur. And we'll get to that in just a second. But You have a new release out. Was it today? In regards to the 2023 school report cards here in the state, with the latest data from the Illinois State Board of Education. Is that correct?
That's right. What we did is we ran our version of a report card. You know, the state actually publishes all this data. It's pretty decent for when you whatever complaints we might make about Illinois. They publish a good bit of the data. The sad thing is it's, you know, it's bad and, it's easy to get to, but it's just a lot. So what we do is we simplify it and show people what really matters. And, you know, we focus on whether kids can read or not, whether they can do math or not, and whether they're still all graduating anyway, kind of thing. So we put those out and, we made it so that every single school, or, you know, parents from every single school and every single district in Illinois can have access.
And, you know, and what are you seeing so far with this new data? Have we seen any kind of improvements?
No. Look, we've seen improvements from the bottom of COVID, but we're still worse off today than we were before COVID. And that's despite spending billions more across the board. So it's not a good story in Illinois because we're spending more and more. They keep pumping in more and more money into education. There's this fancy thing called the evidence-based funding formula. And the only evidence we can see from that formula is that we put more money in and things don't get better. So it's more expensive for the same results.
Do they have any answers? The Illinois State Board of Education, what are they saying? I mean, because as you rightly point out, the answer from all of the politicians, and it seems to be the powers that be that are in charge, well, we need more money to make sure that we can get our kids educated. Well, you've got, I know last year, even before this budget, you know, education funding stood at $12 billion, and in total, for pre-K through 12, you know, it's over $44 billion. I mean, what do they say? Do they have any answers?
Yeah, more money. We need more money. It's easy to say that because when they came out with this evidence-based funding model, they said they needed billions more than we have now. So they always get to point not at where the funding is today, but where they want it to be. And they always say, well, we're underfunded. This is why kids can't read. What they don't tell you is that we spend the most in the Midwest by far. Like if you look at, you know, state spending for kids per student, we spend more than all the other states in the Midwest. We are the 11th highest in the country, and yet it's never enough. And I'll tell you, here's the problem. Like, I'm jumping the gun here a little bit, but I'm looking at School District 61.
Okay.
It's got an enrollment of 8,000 kids there in Decatur. And if you were to line up 100 kids, right, only 8 of them would be able to read at grade level. And only 3 out of every 100 kids can do math at grade level. That is, you know, it's really unfathomable for me I can't understand it. Like, you know, how can only 8 out of every 100 kids read at grade level in the entire school?
That's just dismal. And then, you know, and like you said, the answer that they will tell you is that, you know, they need more money. Well, I just, I've got my property tax bill just a couple of weeks ago. And I mean, the lion's share of my property tax bill goes toward District 61 indicator. But have 8 out of every 100 kids that can read at grade level. I mean, what is my money going toward? And I feel like, you know, and we've talked about this before. we don't want to sound like we're just constantly bagging on the state and the education system, but we've got to point out these problems, because these problems have to get resolved. We're turning out kids that are not going to be able to survive when they get into adulthood.
Right. So, you know, you can critique us for bringing this up, and I get it. It gets kind of tiring. But, you know, if you care about kids, then you've got to ask the question. And, you know, and you know, especially if you care about the minorities, right, which a lot of people want to see them do better. Right. So if I look at the school district 61 here, you know, if I look at just reading, because if you can't read, you're going to have a tough time in life.
Right.
It's 12% of whites in the Decatur school can read at grade level. Just 12. 88% can't read at grade level. For blacks, it's 5% that can read at grade level. For Hispanics, 7%. So you've got a real problem, because, you know, to have a functioning great Decatur that's thriving and growing for everybody, you got to have everybody reading. But what we just heard there is that basically nobody's going to be able to read. And so then how do you operate a machine? How do you do anything? How do you function in life if you can't? And you know, what the other part is if you care about their economics, well, spending is up to nearly $20,000 a kid at the district. And so that's a lot of money.
And
so, you know, what do we do about it? Who's accountable, Jeff, is the question, and does anybody care?
That's the biggest question. That is the largest problem. And you know, we pay a lot of money to administrators, and, you know, to make sure that, you know, everybody, these kids are getting a good education, and it's obvious they're not. You know, I have a hard time pointing the blame at the teachers, because I think their hands are tied, you know, with what they are, you know, with what they are forced to teach in these classrooms, you know, and I think there's a lot of social engineering going on in there, but, you know, as opposed to what the kids should be focusing on, which is reading, writing, and arithmetic, and then move on from there. But, you know, so I have a hard time faulting the teachers. I do not have a hard time faulting the administrators who are letting these problems continue.
Correct. They're the leaders. You know, the average teacher, you know, they can do whatever they want, but if the system doesn't work, then they're in trouble. And so, you know, this is one of the reasons why we put out this pay. And again, I'm not, you know, I don't, like you said, they're the leaders. They're the ones that get to make the decisions. And, you know, the leadership goes all the way up to Governor Pritzker and his staff at the education, you know, their education team, right?
But without question.
If you look at the Decatur, the top pensioners, right? Bobby Joe Williams, retired at age 56, currently has $146,000 pension a year. And will get $4.9 million over the course of her lifetime. Another person, Todd Caveau, if I'm pronouncing it right, retired at 59, will get $4.5 million. Deanne Hillman, retired at age 58, will get $4.3 million in pension. So, you know, this is big pay. So let's at least align pay with outcomes, because if we can't do that, then what matters?
You're absolutely 100% correct, and it should be tied. You know, the pay and the benefits should be tied in to the outcome of the students as a whole, because that is what these individuals have been charged to do, is to make sure our kids are educated. And no amount of money that you are going to throw at the education system is going to correct this problem until people are held accountable for it. But they don't want to be held accountable, and they won't be held accountable currently by the powers that be over in Springfield, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, and it's a tricky subject too. We've discussed this, but, you know, parents also bear, you know, a big part of the blame. So, you know, they have responsibility too to make sure that, you know, that their kids are engaged and all that. But, you know, I think I can't remember if I mentioned this, but I had one parent say, look, you know, my husband and I were working two jobs just trying to make ends meet. We're counting on the school to do the teaching.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, there's a big part to that too. But, you know, when we talk about spending billions of dollars on education, well, we need the system, right? Which is the teachers, the administrators, the unions, they need to come together and say, hey, 5% of blacks reading in Decatur, not good. We gotta elevate that to right in a big way to 20%, then 50%, then 100%. But I don't hear anybody saying that in Decatur.
No, and you're not, and it's not only in Decatur too. You're not hearing it anywhere
no,
in the state.
No,
I mean, you know, I know you're using that because that's the latest data that you had, and you're able to report on that for our listeners here in town. And I'm grateful to that because people need to be made aware of where their tax dollars are going, and the simple fact that you know we're screwing an entire generation. You know, because these kids will eventually grow up to be adults. We're going to get old, and these are the people who are going to be in charge at some point, and I fear for that.
Yeah, and let me be clear, right? Like, you're right to say this isn't just Decatur. I mean, it's the same story in Rockford and in Peoria. I mean, it's the same. It's all the same data, the same problem. So that's why I like to say it's a systemic problem. Now, that doesn't absolve anybody, but it's we got to fix this. Now, let me say one more thing that's important here. You know, I just mentioned these pensions. Well,
right.
Where I live in New Trier, we have a gentleman there who's retiring next year, and his pension, lifetime pension, will be $8 million. Okay, now here's the other part of accountability. The school districts don't pay for the pensions. They come from income taxes. That means from the state level. That means that to pay that guy, the superintendent, his $8 million, everybody from the state has to chip in. Well, what the heck is that, right? So how the heck do we have, you know, people in Peoria and Decatur and Carbondale paying for an $8 million pension to somebody in New Trier? So we've got all kinds of problems with accountability and mistakes of how we set this up. And it needs to be really debated, discussed, and then broken up.
Where I worry, where this, you know, where nobody will eventually, or nobody will ever address this issue, is again, we're visiting with Ted Dabrowski, the president of Wirepoints on News Radio 101 FM. What I worry about is that a little thing that was passed in the last election called Amendment 1. And you know, that applies to the public sector unions. And so, I mean, you know, that I worry that card eventually will be played if somebody tries to make any kind of substantive changes to the pension system because they just won't have it. They can basically come in and now and say, no, that's never going to happen.
That's right. You know that Amendment 1.
It hasn't been played yet, and I'm waiting for it though.
Well, it hasn't had to be played yet because there's been no opposition yet, right? We don't have an opposition party, let's say, in Illinois right now. So right now they're still getting their way, the unions and others. But you're right. Amendment 1 and the Pension Protection Clause
right
makes it really hard, right? We're gonna be paying a lot of these superintendents and some of them that we were put out a report yesterday. You've got, let's see, what was it? You've got districts where, and I'll tell you this right now, in Cahokia, just 5% of kids can read at grade level, and the superintendent, who I think has two jobs, is getting $500,000 a year.
Oh, jeez.
Right? And this gentleman in Ford Heights, 8% read at grade level, and $400,000 salary. So we've got it all messed up, and nobody knows this stuff, right? And this is all public data, right? We're just grabbing it from the state and publishing it,
right?
But it doesn't get coverage because it's uncomfortable.
Well, it should be uncomfortable because, again, and if I was a parent of a child, and thank God I'm not. I mean, you know, my kids are all aged out at this point. You know, they got a good education, but you know, but I fear. And I feel for these parents who have these kids, and like you said, a lot of the parents are working hard and working extra hours and picking up maybe second or third jobs just to be able to make ends meet, you know, and you're expecting the education system to do its job, and it is failing miserably because, you know, it's top heavy with administrators and the people on the ground in the classrooms, you know, are caught between a rock and a hard place.
Well, yeah, I tell you, I bet every Decatur teacher, not just Decatur, but around the state would say, hey, let's cut back on a few of these, let's just cut back on a bunch of these administrators,
yeah.
Right? Like for every administrator you get rid of, you can probably get two or three or four assistants in the classroom.
Yes.
Now, wouldn't that be better, right? Because I would bet that, you know, most classrooms need help, right? One, with discipline. Two, with if kids are that far behind, you gotta really, you know, spend a lot of time to get to them. You need more help in the classroom. But what we don't need is people making 400, 500 grand and getting these $8 million pensions. What we need is help in the classroom.
Without a question. Ted Dabrowski is the president of Wire Points on News Radio 101 FM. You can find the latest school report card there at the website, wirepoints.org. You can also sign up for the newsletter there. Before I let you go, I do want to touch base on the budget, which was, you know, because it was vintage. It was so vintage, Illinois Senate and House, of how they passed this thing. The Senate passes a budget, not only giving the governor what he wants, they figured they'd just sweeten the deal and add another $400 million on top of it, plus give themselves a pay increase, drop that on a Sunday night ahead of the Memorial Day holiday, and then you have the Illinois House comes back in. They're in session one day and drop and go ahead and pass the budget in the wee hours of the morning, and now all the governor has to do is sign it.
Yep. And, you know, and to add to that is the governor got his tax increases. It's amazing how, this governor, you know, tried to get credit for the grocery tax, cut, the 1% grocery tax. But then at the same time passed nearly $1 billion in tax hikes after that. And, you know, and it was interesting too, is that the grocery tax money isn't the state money. It's local money. So, he cut taxes on the locals, and the locals are going, what the heck happened? And then he turns around and raises $800 million to $1 billion in tax hikes at the state level. So, like you said, it's, you know, look, for me, these budgets mean nothing anymore because they're just big spending bills. They don't address property taxes. They don't address crime. They don't address the people leaving. They don't address the difficulty of jobs.
No.
So, you know, it's just more spending, more taxes, and most people don't really understand it because, you know, these budgets are hard to understand for anybody. So it's another sad moment, but hopefully it continues to move us towards a wake-up moment sometime sooner than later.
Oh, from your lips to the big man's ears, you know, because and just the sheer gall that they voted themselves a cost of living increase. You know, I can go out and ask anybody on the street, you know, have you had a cost of living increase? Is your job, you know, giving you a cost of living increase this year? And I will guarantee you the answer probably 9 out of 10 times will be absolutely not. You know, so the simple fact that these legislators feel like they're entitled to make over $100,000 a year as a part-time legislator is just galling to me, and it should be to every single citizen of the state of Illinois.
Yeah, we'll have to make that more public because, you know, I was looking at that. Their salaries were $65,000-$67,000, which was already high. I'm talking about a few years ago,
yeah.
Which was already high compared to the rest of the country, typically fourth or fifth highest in the country. And now suddenly they're up at nearly $100,000. And I'm like, wow, they have really taken care of themselves despite the fact that they haven't done anything about the property taxes, et cetera, et cetera.
No, and Illinois continues to bleed citizens and businesses because it's impossible or it's just miserable to do business here, and everybody's being taxed to death and they're fleeing the state. It is always a pleasure catching up with me, my friend. Again, thanks for the update. We'll look at that new data from the school report cards as well. If folks want to sign up for the newsletter, all they got to do is come to the website, right?
Yeah, that's right, wirepoints.org, and go to our social media at wirepoints. And and Jeff, thanks for you bringing the light to all this data. It's I know it's not easy, but we appreciate you doing that as well.
Well, we have to have these uncomfortable conversations. I mean, it really is simple as that because, you know, we have an entire generation of kids that depend on it. So it's always a pleasure. Thank you always for taking the time, and we'll catch up with you again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, sir.
Ted Dabrowski, the president of Wire Points. Wirepoints.org is the website. Kind of painful news. And again,